Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome, everyone, to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am Philip Gilfus, your host, and I'm joined, as always, by Darren Moser and Daniel Prue. Gentlemen, how are you doing? And have you tried the skydiving on City Alpha 5, our neighbor?
That did look fun.
How goes DS9, Daniel? You visited there recently, I assume.
That's right. Yeah, we don't think we've completed it, but we're right in the middle of House of Quark, which is a Ferengi Klingon crossover episode. Something you don't think would work very well, of course, but it's great. It's fantastic. It's a really fun little episode and a bit of a break after the start of the season with the meeting the Dominion. So yeah, it's going really well. And in fact, I'm sure we'll bring it up at some point. Well, you already brought it up, Philip, but. We saw some Deep Space Nine people around these parts recently, so that was cool.
What about you, Darren? What's your recent watches?
I haven't been watching as much, but I have been listening to the Mission Log, and I think they're just about to the 10-episode, 9-episode master ending arc of Season 7, and Norm is losing his mind over Damar, which is really hilarious, because it's going to be
redemption
good.
Redemption arc.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. But yeah, no, it'll be still haven't had time to listen to any of Coda, but I'll eventually get around to that.
Soon. Tuesday maybe?
Yeah, some year, Tuesday.
I was watching Voyager. Just watched the name of the episode was Sacred Ground. And it's one of those that I guess I don't often remember, but it's not a bad episode. It's one where Kes gets infected when they visit this alien planet, this sort of religious shrine. Janeway has to go through this religious ritual to save her. But it's all about, you know.
Is he cutting bark or, you know, it's like.
Well, it's all about her having these expectations because obviously she's a scientist and she's like, yeah, I got to do this stuff, whatever. But it's not kind of going to fighting that image of going to get all the answers and. More than just what she thinks are the answers. And even at the end, the doctor's giving this explanation. Oh, this is why it worked. And this is why it worked. And the captain's kind of like, but anyway, but it was a little, it's a small little episode that's maybe forgettable, but it was good. It does make me realize I am counting down Kes time probably at this point. Oh, well. Well, Voyager is not what we're going to be talking about today, theoretically. Daniel talked a couple episodes ago about the fact that we will be, well, theoretically, we will be getting a new Star Trek game in the next, year or two. So that's something to look forward to. So we've been talking about Star Trek games. And one thing it made me realize is that out of all of the legacy Star Trek, of course, even the Kelvinverse too, but there's one series that never had its own game. Own game based on it. That's Star Trek Enterprise. So, you know, we had TOS has not quite a few, but mini games, and TNG has a few games. DS9 has one game, kind of an early run. But then Away Team, if you ever played Star Trek Away Team, it's actually a really good game. Not DS9 based, but. And then Voyager, of course, has Elite Force. And then Kelvin even got its own. Game, right. Which Daniel said is the best game ever invented. That quote. But no Star Trek Enterprise. So
there is a small caveat to that.
Yeah. Well, I'm counting. Like, go ahead. But go ahead. Yeah.
Give me. Yeah. I will just clarify that Star Trek Legacy, which came out in I think 2008 or 2009, maybe, is a story that spans from Enterprise to, I guess you'd say Voyager time, and includes. You start with the NX-01 and includes voice clips from I can't remember the actor's name, Captain Archer,
Scott Bakula.
So it is there and it exists there, but it's not its own thing. It exists within a bigger game. So it doesn't have its own. It still does not have its own game. But
I don't think I've ever played that. What's your quick 30-second review?
It's not good. Not by any stretch. Here's the thing: it's Starship Combat, and Star Trek is not good. Starship Combat, because it's all capital ships, and they're all like, as if you're flying them, they're big and heavy and slow and boring, and it's not great at that. And almost all of the acting, I mean, they're all there. Picard, Kirk, I can't remember anybody's actor names. Patrick Stewart's there. William Shatner's there. I can't remember. I think Mulgrew shows up too. I can't remember. It's been a long time, but it's not a great game. And it's really just kind of a slog to get through. But
I vaguely remember it. I was about to say, I've never heard of this game, but now I vaguely remember because I remember playing it, I think, on a friend's system, and it was a system, not a PC. I can't remember what it was on at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course I'm not counting like Star Trek Online with references or timelines.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But just as an actual, like, this is the series we're basing game on. So I thought this episode we would make or pitch or whatever a game based on Enterprise. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to do it. But I thought this was my idea. We're kind of going to do a kind of a choose your own adventure way. So I'm going to kind of take turns between the two of you of kind of making decisions about where we go.
Okay.
And so, Daniel, of course, I'm going to start with you, you know, our game expert here. And I'm going to give you the first question. What system is this going to be based out of? Cross-platforming, of course. But where is this coming from originally? What game system is this game going to be coming from?
I mean, I would, you know, this sort of thing, a third-party license is always going to be multi-platform.
Of course.
So you're going to get everything, I'd say. It's going to be on Steam. It'll be on your Xboxes and your PlayStations. Yeah, definitely. It's got to be all across the board because it's going to be...
Every game system has its own flavor. So where do you think it's its core that you would think for which game system?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what question you're asking. I don't...
Maybe, like, is this more PC game versus, like, console game?
Because are kind of two... They've all blended together, honestly, at this point. There's not much difference, essentially. In fact, a lot of people play PC games with controllers. Oh, and you can play a lot of console games with a PC and a keyboard and mice. So it's essentially all the same, honestly.
Okay.
I don't know.
So what you're saying is stupid question, Philip.
I might not be understanding it, but I
think there's a different game from a PlayStation game than I expect from an Xbox game than I expect from a Nintendo.
That's interesting, but there are games, of course, that do run the gamut. I mean, most games come out for most systems. Of course, there are exceptions where specific games come only for specific systems. But because this is a licensed property, usually to recover some of those license costs, it'll come out for every platform available. I assume it would maybe even come out for mobile, right? Like people could just play. But no, I wouldn't want... I see what you're saying now. I think I'm starting to get what you're saying. I would say it would probably be geared towards a more casual audience. So it would probably be like an Xbox, PlayStation-friendly game. I don't think setting like a really high... skill tactics PC-based game would help a Star Trek game at all. I think broad appeal is going to be your best way to go. So I think something, maybe not simplistic isn't the right word, but easy to play would work. So I would say, yeah, I'd say make it a console game. There you go. That answers your question.
Right. Well, you're right. You could have just said mobile game, and that obviously would be a completely different animal.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that because that's ugly and no fun to do. Nobody wants to play. There's let's just say there's a lot of Star Trek mobile games. If you want to play one, you definitely can. This would be something more substantial than that.
All right, Darren, and this is just building our foundation since Daniel ruined the first one. Darren, what kind of game? And by this, you know, I mean, you answered however you want to. But this first person versus third person, what do you envision?
The idea I actually was thinking of was more of a civilization kind of game.
Okay.
And
Starfleet, there was a Civilization-esque Star Trek game can't remember.
I know the Star Wars one is called Battlegrounds. Star Wars Battlegrounds, I want to say.
Yeah, something like
Starfleet
that.
Starfleet Command, I think, is the
That's
one.
What I'm thinking. Yeah. But anyway, but go ahead, Darren. Go ahead.
So it was, my thought was, it's like founding the Federation. Because I was trying to think of, like, what does Enterprise
have?
There's
a Birth of the Federation game. But anyway, you're just, yeah, go ahead.
Is it really?
Well, that's not my game. My game is founding. Illiterate. No. But, yeah, my thought was, like, what does Enterprise have? And you have the aspect of the fact that the Federation isn't there yet. Like, it gets in the very end of the season. So my thought was, what if you're the Enterprise and you have to fly around from system to system and moon to moon and all of that, and the goal is you're trying to basically build the Federation, kind of like side quests, like you're trying to, you know, balance Archer's diplomacy and guile and like all these like different sliders so that different races will react positively to you. But here's the thing, you don't have to stick with the core species. If you want to like bring Klingons in the founding of the Federation, it's possible. It's difficult.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So like, yeah, I mean, because you could easily, it's like Vulcans are like the default. Like you could easily, you know, satisfy the requirements for entry that they want, you know. And then like the Tellarites have different requirements and the Andorians and, you know, a lot of these original old species. But if you want to go like Romulan and Klingon, like you can, it's just much more difficult. And maybe your Federation is literally only Romulan and Klingon because one of the Klingon stipulations is like no Vulcans, no Tellarites and no, you know, Andorians. But
So, Philip, for your mind, he's suggesting sort of what happens in Mass Effect 3, where you can get either the Krogans, or no, either the Salarians or the Geth, but you can't get them both on your side. I like this idea. It's an open-ended sort of thing where, you said, it's not necessarily bound by the story of Star Trek, but it is set in that universe and, like, depending on your choices, your diplomatic and political choices, it can easily lock you out of other things. Right. So you could replay the game every time.
Like adding Klingons is going to be hard. Like you might have to blow up a moon or like, you know, like make them, you know, things that you would normally never do. But I like the thought of, because at first I thought, well, you know, obviously you wouldn't have Klingons because Klingons aren't in the Federation. It's like, well, why not? Why there's lock no that out? Yeah, there is no Federation. And I could see that being the intrigue to the gamer of like, you don't have to stick with the canon races and give them, you know, give them a wide range, like do, you know, like Beta Zeds and like Bolians and like everything in between. And some are harder and some are easier. And I wasn't, like I said, side quest, but I'm not quite sure again of the mechanics. But the point is that you're trying to build your crew and do certain actions with, especially Archer, that gives him a certain temperament that is attractive to the prospective planets. So again, like I use the Klingons as an example, but like if he fights three Klingons in a row and wins with honor, like that moves it up a notch. And now they're closer to wanting to join. But if he doesn't, you know, or if he uses bad tactics, you know, so it's kind of like little RPG-ish, you know, kind of like the force slider, you know, where you can make positive or negative, you know, choices.
So I like your example, Darren. Like fighting three Klingons in a row would give you positive faction experience with the Klingons, but it would give you negative faction experience with the Vulcans, who are like you're being unnecessarily violent and whatever. So it's this faction system, which definitely exists in some other games. I'm thinking specifically now of like Fallout New Vegas, but there's plenty of games that do this sort of thing where like it's very political charged and like the way that the Federation turned out in canon probably only happened because of circumstance. It's all just circumstance. Right. They're just, you know, the right people were in the right place at the right time. If you adjust some of those knobs just a little bit, it's going to look very differently. And so each time you play through the game, it could be a very different experience. That's kind of a really cool idea, Darren. Yeah. I like that.
Well, and like you said, there are certain things that will lock you out. Like if you end up with, like, maybe no matter what you do, if you add the Klingons, even if you've already brought in the if you've already brought in the Vulcans, they'll leave. Like if the Klingons join, we're like out. And so your number like goes up one and then it goes down one and something like that. And it would add a lot of replayability, you know, because maybe now you want to build a Romulan Klingon dictatorship federation. And so you do, or you just want to create the original TOS, you know, makeup, or maybe you want to, you know, or maybe the order matters. So like if you do Vulcans, mm-hmm. then Andorians is different than Andorians and then Vulcans, you know, I don't know. And I don't know exactly what the mechanics are. Like part of it is probably order that you visit the planets and there'll be some sort of combat, but it is, you know, I don't want it to be like you were saying, it is political, but I don't want it to be like, you know, well, Chancellor Gorkon says, you know, I need you to find me 3 targs on this planet and then I'll join your federation. Like, no, that's too side questy, you know, but the overall choices you make, and you'll see, like when you pull out to your map, you'll see sliders and levels on each of the planets showing like how happy they are with different, you know, and that's why I'm thinking like guile, you know, trustworthiness, like certain, there'll be like 3 or 4 categories that each one kind of rotate around and you're trying to find that sweet spot to make everybody happy. And then when you're done, you know, you hit the charter button or something and then it, like, they all get together and you know, and then it has, you know, procedurally generated conferences. And then it's like 10 years later, the founding of the trip dies when you push the button. And
no matter what.
No matter what. So that was my idea of just
there's only one scenario where he doesn't die.
Out of what is it, like Dr. Strange says, 14 million. And that's the only one where Trip survives.
It's a Federation only, xenophobic Federation where there are no other members and they form, and then it starts to go into the
it's the Florida Federation, man. Let's go.
Or it's the it becomes like the ISS. The like they become they start to head down Empire.
You complete that game path, and then suddenly it goes. It just does the opening to the mirror.
Oh yeah, and then it's like the
thing comes through the earth.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, the dagger comes through the earth. It's like, congratulations, you unlocked Terran Empire. But how fun would that be? Like, you know.
That's the most difficult, impossible path, and people are always looking for that. But
but it's actually not that hard. You just have to piss off everybody and not like and make everybody nobody wants to join. You're like, fine, I'll do it myself. Dagger through the planet, and then you start, and then you unlock the conquest mode, and you just start blasting everything as you go.
Ah, awesome! Yeah, because it reminds me, Birth of the Federation. I think it was just a PC game because it's, you know, old.
Yeah, I'm curious. How was that one played?
It's one of my favorites because it's, and I'm sure it's similar model to Civilization or whatever, because it was 24th century based, but like you just started with a map, like Earth, you know, and depending on what level you got, you maybe had a science ship and you had your planets to develop, you know, in, you know, Sol. You made colonies or you made alliances and you could sort of build a relationship, you mean the Vulcans, and then you offer them this many credits and to do a trade treaty, and then after that, you know, you send them some more money for an affiliation treaty, and then you send, you know, and then build up that relationship. But then, because your relationship, as you were talking about, you'd have that relationship kind of spectrum, and when it got high enough, you could offer affiliation, and then they were part of the Federation, you know, and so but yeah. It was a really cool game. I wish I could play it again. But it's like many other games in the 90s and early 2000s that same mechanic. But it is really fun. But no, I like that. I like that because, again, you're combining two aspects where I think you have that sort of, as you said, space element, like where you'd have your map. And I almost picture like you have like a flag, but it's quartered and it's blank at the beginning of the game. And every time you add one, it kind of adds, like, with that flag, the Vulcan flag or the Klingon flag or the...
That'd be cool.
And you're trying to create your whole flag.
Or stars, like, appear in the United Federation.
Oh, yeah! The constellation's different depending on who... Yeah. That would be cool.
Because I don't want to limit them to, like... I mean, that could be another thing you could unlock, where you add, you know, seven... member worlds. Like, it's really hard because you're really balancing, and it's much easier when you go with all of the, you know, more quote-unquote peaceful planets. But
I think, like, you maybe would only have four slots, but you're still meeting everyone, and so
that's true.
However you build those relationships, it's,
and then
founding
members, like, they get a seat at the table, you know. They
and then when you make an affiliation with someone, maybe that gives you extra powers as you continue on.
Right. And then, you know, as far as our crew goes, you know, I'm thinking it's like you're, again, it's kind of like an RPG where you're, after you have experiences, you're putting points into different characters. And if you put all your points into, like, Malcolm, you're going to have a little bit more materialist, you know, militaristic ship, versus if you put them all into T'Pol, like, then it makes it much easier for Vulcan to join or something like that. And I mean, obviously, a way where it's not just a ship flyer, but you're actually, you know, and Archer, like, again, he's the center of it, where you're moving his temperament around. He's either going to be Terran Empire, you know, Archer, or he's going to be, you know, good guy Archer.
He's a three Archer.
Yes, he's a three Archer.
Well, because then I could see, like I said, we have that space map element of where you're looking at relationships and you're warping to different places. But then you also have, like you were talking about, Darren, where then you would, you know, go to the planet, you know, orbit, and then beam down, and you'd have your usual two slots or three slots for away team members who, you said, you're building up.
Depending and on you your can go to...
choose.
Yeah.
And then you'd have, like, these different... if you choose the planet to beam down, you know, Andor or whatever, you'd have... It'd be not open world necessarily, but you'd have an ability to travel and
yeah,
do
I'd say
missions.
Like a couple of cities. Like, you have the capital, you have, like, a farm. Like, it's the same type on every planet. Like, you know, a city center, a rural area, the capital. And that'd be even cooler if you could actually, if let's say you weren't making En-ROADS in, like, maybe the way to add Romulus is you don't go to the capital, you go to, like, you start an uprising, like a political uprising from, you know, the rural community or something like that.
I was almost thinking that for Romulus, like, it would almost be random. Like, you'd have to encounter,
you have to find it. Yeah, you have to come across a random encounter. Yeah,
yeah,
and survive.
It's not impossible game mechanic, but that you cannot predict when you encounter the Romulans.
That's true. So
if you encounter
them early, you're just sunk.
Maybe.
I was thinking of looking at this kind of in a reverse direction, and I feel like this might be a separate conversation, but, like, what if instead, like, I really like the idea of, like, the whole game is building the Federation. I think that's, I don't want to lose that, but I also think it's interesting to think of, like, what if you were creating your character, and the character you're creating is the Federation, and each member world that you add to the Federation again adds to those attributes.
I mean, that's basically what we're doing, and it's
right.
I mean, you could say that is, and maybe that's how you visualize it. Like, again, I keep talking about Archer. Like, maybe it's one and the same, where as you are, if once you add Vulcan, Archer acts a little differently, and you're right, actually changing his personality because he is the embodiment of the Federation, basically. Because how else do you show that to the player?
All right, Daniel, here's my next question for you. Like many video games, you can't get everything you want. So for this game, we only have access to three actors. Which ones are you getting?
Oh, man, obviously Archer, obviously. That is.
Yeah, you got to have Scott Bakula.
Not that I think you're not thinking, but, you know, so you have your main cast.
Way to cut our budget off at the knees, Philip.
Look, you can get not Gowron or no one. But then you also have your side characters, whether it's Saval or whether it's Tran.
Oh, you're saying three in addition to the main cast?
No, you get three. That's it.
Oh,
you
just get three.
See, I mean, we could
use sound clips, obviously. We can do that.
I take a little bit of umbrage with that just because, I mean, not to be mean-spirited or anything, but these people, I think, would probably jump at the chance and are available. But fine, if you're going to limit me to three.
They're not dead, so, yeah.
Yeah, none of them have died. I would say Scott Bakula for sure. I would also put... didn't he die? Shoot, I don't know. Did Admiral... what's-his-face die?
Forrest.
Oh.
Admiral no. Forrest, did he...
I think, actually, well, I'll check.
What about Shran?
You could do Shran. I think T'Pol would probably be the best number two at that point, though, just because Vulcan
she was the number
be,
one.
Well, yeah.
Well, the only reason, I mean, I know this is your answer, Daniel, but like my thought with Shran is what if he is the game prompt, basically? So he's he's always talking to you and he's like, so, you know, pigs get, maybe he doesn't say pigs in all the time, but he's like, so human, you know. Now you must choose which planet to go to. Like, he's, you know.
Right. Yeah, the game announcer.
He's the game announcer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why Philip is restricting us here.
Look, have you ever played a Star Trek game? I don't know how many original voices you've found that you've had. And it's Vaughn Armstrong is who you're thinking of. And as far as I know, he's still alive.
No. I knew the actor was still alive. Did the character die?
Yeah, he got blooded up.
That's what I'm saying. If he died in the game, in the series, then we can't include him.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd say then I would do T'Pol, Shran, and and Archer. That's
okay. I mean, he can. What's his face can play. Jeffrey Combs can play any part. Yeah,
that's right. True. He can just be everyone. do a Malcolm impression for us, Jeffrey, would you?
Well, like I said, how many you sound clips, you know?
Some reason Wayoon is here. Alert. I don't know why, but, you know.
Hey, you meet the Ferengi, and they're clouded. Right. You just see the silhouette. It's clear who they are. Geez. All right, awesome.
Are the Borg featured as well?
They were in Enterprise. Look, if you want to try...
I don't recommend going down that path of the game. Like, the first one you encounter, maybe it's like the Romulans. They're a random encounter, and you either, like, get the out of there, or you're like, well, your Federation is now a Borg collective. Congratulations. The flag changes and assimilates, and you're just like, ah. Oh.
I like it. You would get, like, into that constellation, the Borg, but then suddenly when you got it, suddenly the whole thing would start spreading.
Like, oh, no.
Flag. Get it off.
Stop it.
And then you have Scott Bakula doing his Locutus.
I don't know how. Again, I don't want to make this game boring, so I don't know if we want to have some sort of aspect where you're negotiating with the plant, like when they're actually coming to the table. Like if they're on one end of the table, you're at the other, and you're actually like having to make sacrifices, give or take. And you know, like if you annex this planet to the Klingon Empire, they'll join, but it's going to piss off these other species. So,
well, I like to think, again, not to use Mass Effect, but I will. But I don't know what this is actually technically called, Daniel, in computer programming. But like, based on your current numbers, you would have dialogue options open or closed to you.
It's like decision trees, basically.
Yeah, but you'd have your, like, I know in Mass Effect it's blue-red, I think. The blue is the good, the red's the evil. But like, depending on what you are, that would open up your dialogue options.
Okay,
that
makes sense.
The good or the
right.
I mean, it makes me think of like KOTOR or like stuff like that, where
Mass Effect came out of KOTOR. It has all the KOTOR DNA inside of it. So, you would see the option to like, oh, but the Vulcans can help us, but you can't select it because the Vulcans aren't part of your version of the thing. So you would know in the back of your mind, you'd be like, oh, that's the other thing. I could go back and do that at a different playthrough. But now I only have the one option open to me or whatever. Right. So, that would work.
Because I like, and it's complicated, but it's not. Because the computer will, you know, what computers do. But that, like, because obviously you don't want to make it complex to an outsider. Now, there's a lot of games, that strategic games, that are too much for me. I'm like, oh, this seems.
You should be able to play through this in a relatively short amount of time because the goal is to enjoy playing different scenarios.
But I think that like I said, when you're doing your alliances or whatever, and then when you're doing your on-planet missions, because you could succeed, fail,
right?
You know,
adds a bit of random Add skill to the mix. Because otherwise it's like, okay, the Klingons join because I went to their planet. Like, that's not much of an incentive.
I actually think, so in along that vein, I think there needs to be some threat, right? Some galactic threat that is happening that...
it was the you Discovery kind of. Watchers and your galactic threats.
No, it doesn't have to be like a literally the galaxy is going to explode, but like
the Romulan threat. I figured was actually, I mean, canonically, isn't that why there is the Federation? I mean, it's the Alliance.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You could build up the Romulan thing that way. It's
or
not
the sphere
like
builders or something like that.
Well, at that point, they're no longer a threat. I don't think. Right.
Well, yeah. One, you don't necessarily have to place this at the end of the show.
I was thinking that's where it'd be.
And the spear builders as an overall threat, that doesn't take the Romulans off the table as a species. You could add them because they're
have Zindi elements. I mean, if you really wanted to get into it.
Yeah, you could do this. You could do like a Zindi splinter group.
But again, those are also five cool planets you could add to your Federation. So
I do think there does need to be a threat on the outside that you can judge.
V'ger or something. You know,
you can judge. Yeah, exactly. V'ger. V'ger would probably... kind of bore everybody.
Is pretty safe, but anyway.
Romulans, whatever. But like something that you can judge your Federation on.
That's
like,
true.
Once you actually succeed in gathering everybody together, you were 92% successful against this threat, and you quelled the
threat
or whatever.
Maybe it plays out like, so a lot of it's prep, and at the end you hit that, you know, What did I call it?
Again, Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The charter sort of button, and then you see it play out really fast. Like, you lost Vulcan. Like, it is gone. It's been blown up. It's like, well, 52%. Good job.
Right. Like, you only picked the Denobulans as your crew, and now everybody's dead. You 25% victory. You know, whatever it is.
Ooh. I mean, and again, this is fantasy, but maybe it shows you how far you go. Like, in other words, do you go to the 24th century, the 20th century,
how long your Federation's last. See, that makes more sense on how long your Federation survives versus a percentage, because a percentage makes me think like that there's a right way to make
sure. No, that's a perfect way to do it. Yeah.
So it's like your Federation lasted into the 2330s. It's like, oh, okay. Well, it didn't do too well.
It just shows like the Enterprise, like the refit from Star Trek blowing up.
And
your Federation
even
did not
better,
survive.
Even better. The
Enterprise blowing up.
No, the Enterprise is flying through the timeline like as.
Yes.
As, but it's changing. And it changes to A, to B, to C, to D.
And then it's you could literally just build it in a way where it's like every failure point is a point in canon. Like, you failed against the Borg threat. That was where your Federation failed. Or the Dominion crushed.
You get crazy Beard Riker.
Yeah, you get
game over
or whatever. That's kind of cool. What a great, like, what a fun idea that would be.
And again, it's like at the end of a level, like a Mario level, where you see everything like tally up really fast. So it takes like 60 seconds at most to play through this. And you can like scroll back and see it after it's done. But it's like, okay, here we go. Okay, we Enterprise C didn't save the Klingon ship. And the Federation fell. So it's like, okay, like that. Oh, that'd be so cool.
But I'm also thinking, with the threat that you were both talking about, for lack of a better word, as I said, I'm saying four, but that's just me. I'm saying that you're collecting your Constellation flag. After each Alliance member you get, maybe there's a mini boss threat that shows up. You know, one and at two, at three, and then four we've done. But like,
and the Klingon be slaying their own gods.
So that Alliance you've built matches up. And maybe there's consequences, like either, obviously it's going to be easy, medium, hard.
Okay,
and if you meet them, then you go on. But maybe like if you don't beat that the whatever statistics or whatever. I mean, this is all in the background of the computer. Maybe you still go on, but you're damaged. Like you lose a planet. You know, you're hurt. Yeah.
Or you lose like political standing in the overall galactic because you can't solve the problem or whatever the issue was.
I would approach it a little bit different, Philip, because that's kind of implying that after you pass or don't pass that boss, then you're changing the makeup of the Federation after that. What if when you start a game, you are presented with like one of eight challenges. And so you have to also, or maybe you can pick the challenge. So it's like your challenge is the Borg are going to invade in 100 years, or your challenge is, you know, so I don't know, so the Nexus comes through and something happens, like, and that way, so it, or you could have no challenge and you just build whatever Federation you want.
And
so,
that could be your level of difficulty that when you choose true, your yeah. beginning yeah. mode.
Because like yeah, the yeah. Borg are going to invade in 100 years, like you want to have a really strong Federation to survive that, like... Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Like, oh, I could well see. Like, I feel like I mean, you can do as many modes, but I mean, was it easy, medium, something, God? But like, you could have Borg be the worst.
Q is the highest level.
Dominion War as the next highest level.
Yeah,
And then Klingon Civil
War. Borg threat, Dominion War, and then like something, the burn or something at the top.
Cool. All right, so Daniel, I'm going to also ask gamers, tell me, what's the multiplayer option going to look like?
Well, so we're basing this kind of off a Civilization structure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of already built in. You would think that you could have two people. Man, this is where it gets tricky. If it's based, like, all of your characteristics in this game are based off of who you alliance.
And I will say, because I assume this is right, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Our emphasis is going to be on single player. But anyway, go ahead.
So. I was just going to say, I don't think in Civ two people can pick the same civilization, but that's a singular choice, which makes
Civ
it very...
Civ versus Civ.
That makes it very easy, to not lock anybody out. But if you have a limited amount, if everybody has to choose four things and there's like 16 options, whoever gets the first choice usually would have a pretty significant advantage. I don't know how you'd fix that. Maybe random.
I have an idea how you'd fix that. Two-player mode is mirror mode. Both of you are creating your own federations, but you are mirrors to each other, meaning you have the full selection options, but then your federations will fight at the end at a crossover.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like
and, not like mirror universe, like it's the evil one, but like your parallel universes. And, right. and well, so yeah, that yeah. way you don't lose.
So you should have used the word parallel and not mirror.
Well, see, I was thinking of the same universe. It's just
I like
two...
my alliteration, Daniel. Mirror mode sounds good.
It's just
really
Earth
good.
1 and Earth 2, but we're like, basically, so where yeah. player 1 manages to get the Vulcans first, then player 2's Vulcans off the table. You can't get them. So
right. I mean, my mode.
It's like a campaign style almost versus.
Oh, but yeah. so player 2 would have to start on Vulcan, say, or like, oh. yeah, oh. kind of.
I mean, it could be an option, but that would direction where I was saying you weren't limited, so both of right. you could have the exact same groups of planets.
Yeah,
but maybe the order you got them, or you pumped a little more into your Denobulan stat or whatever, and but yeah, that would be. And then, you know, that'd be really interesting to again see the one player who's like, I'm going Terran Empire the whole way, just conquering my own. But then he's so weak by the time he gets to the fighting the other universe.
Because I loses. Would, and I'm not trying to, whatever, but I would almost, I don't know how to program, but as the idea guy.
I don't care how it's done, just do it.
I would build in a dynamic that almost self-sabotages anyone who goes that way. Like, in other words... This is almost going to be.
Actually win in the Terran Empire.
There will be combat in the game. I mean, it's not going to be overwhelming. You'll encounter the Romulans and whatever, Klingon, whatever. But it's not going to be overpowering. But I feel like there should be a self-sap that if you're going to try to just shoot everyone, that there's going to be enough blowback in your stats.
It's like in StarCraft or something where you spend like your first five turns pumping into Earth. Like that's how it starts, and Earth becomes really powerful. And then when you approach Vulcan, you get the conquer button as a choice. And you're like, oh, we can do this. But once you start that path, like it's, you don't get the negotiate option for any other planet, and you have to fight your way across the stars, and it's really resource taxing and heavy, and you're losing ships, and like you can do it, but it is difficult and not
best choice. I see what Philip's saying with like we in the Star Trek universe would want to discourage it,
right?
But you can do that, but still make it possible. You can make it the most difficult track that you go down.
Yeah, because like, everybody fights you. Like,
As soon as you take over one other planet, everyone, like, they build their own federation to stop you.
Yeah, they start coming for you. Yeah, that would be. And so then it becomes more of a choice. Because again, I want people to have the choice to do that because that's fun, you know, but maybe it's like, okay, well, then it really matters who you conquer first. Like if you conquer the Ferengi first, maybe they give you more coin to build more ships or whatever. Or, you know, conquering the Andorians gives you better technology or something. But if you wait and pump into your Earth stat too long, too many rounds, then everybody is also building their own groups and they're much more difficult. So again, like StarCraft, if you wait too long, your enemies now become too powerful to fight on your own.
Yeah, it does sound like Civilization, like a lot of real-time strategy games that you guys are talking about, a lot of resource building and allocation. That's what it's all about, is collecting.
Civilization resources. Meets Elder Scrolls. I mean, it's not open world. It's not open world. But that you would have, like, these three sites per planet or whatever, per civilization, that you didn't have to... You'd have, like, X number, you know, 12... You know, I'm making this up. 12 missions per civilization, depending on how you did it. So it would almost still have that away team element of... And I mean, I'm thinking first person in my mind, but it doesn't have to be first person. That's kind of how you used to be the third person. Because again, you're going to change how you do your away teams or landing parties.
I mean, I think more third person just because I think the main thing you're mostly looking at is the map. That is the primary screen of the game, is where am I going? You know, how do I get here? Because again, it's three-dimensional space, or at least you're starting in the middle. So if you build Galactic East, you're going to run into certain planets versus Galactic West. It's not like a straight line is taking you through all your planets. So,
right.
I would also like, or would posit that one thing I liked about Birth of the Federation, I know,
but to go around the Briar Patch.
Well, the map always changed. Like, there's not, every time you play, it's not the same map. And so you still have to explore. Like, you don't have, like, here's the whole map of the Alpha Beta Quadrant.
Right, there's still Fog of War.
You'd still have to plot a course.
I don't know if I...
That one thing too many, Daniel?
I like the idea that the Alpha the universe is established. Although, if we are not aware of where it is, it could seem that it was...
I like that thought, Philip, but I kind of lean more towards what Daniel is saying in the fact that we're already giving the player lots of choices. And so that kind of, like, meaning if you want to play where I take over the Vulcans first, you should know where the Vulcans are to begin with.
Also, but you can still have the same effect, I think. You can have the same effect.
Well, you have the Vulcan star chart.
You can have it like if I do align myself with the Vulcans, I'm not allowed to go into Romulan territory without breaching the
good faith or whatever.
The good faith. So there are places that you would have to avoid. Depending on your playthrough, it would change. So
or it could be more decision tree based. I thought of this because you said the Vulcan star charts. Well, what if you don't join with Vulcan first? You join with, again, like Denobula, or like, let's say Ferengi, for example. Well, they'll sell them to you, so you have less currency, but now you have access to that side. And so it's like there's key planets that expand your map and give more options.
That's a great idea. I think it's a really good idea.
Like only like three or four, like, and they connect enough of the map where if you gain all four of those, or in some way, you know, it's not like you have to join every single planet you pass, but
yeah, I guess Philip, to the spirit of what you're saying, what you would do is you would not give the player direct control of where they went. You wouldn't have like a galaxy map and you could click on this star.
You can't go straight to Romulus. You have to go through three other planets to get there.
Go through things. There's paths and stuff and like whatever.
That makes more sense.
You need to get star charts and maps and that sort of thing, or spend resources. Ooh. To get
credits.
It takes time.
If you go to Bajor, do you get the warp gate to the
to the Gamma Quadrant?
The Gamma Quadrant.
That's the expansion pack. That's gonna
and you start to and you just like you're like, you know what, Dominion, we're going to just join you, and then we're going to wipe out the Alpha Quadrant.
I do like that. I just thought of it, and it's something we talked about already with this. If depending on who you choose first,
I guess it's not Enterprise.
It's not going to make it more difficult, but it's going to. So if you choose Vulcan first, it's harder to get Andoria. It's not difficult. It's not.
Yeah, that's.
And
whereas
if you choose Andoria first, it's harder to get Vulcan.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to work towards.
Because there's
it.
The it's, natural. Yeah. Antagonistic tendencies.
If you choose Tellarites, it's hard to get everyone because
they just like to argue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is I'm trying to think. Is there another? What's like the fourth
powers?
What would you say the fourth race would
well,
be?
Well, humans, Vulcans, Andorians, Tellarites.
I know, but if you had to add another one on top of that, I'm trying to think.
Denobulans.
Oh, we don't know. Work. Yeah. I mean, we could put them in there, I guess, but that's not.
I'm just thinking for the triangle of like Tellarites, everybody's harder. Vulcans, Andorians are harder. Andorians, Vulcans are harder. And then Denobulans, everybody's still easy because everybody loves the Denobulans.
Everyone loves the Denobulans.
That's what I'm trying to think like balance. Of
I like that. I think the Denobulans probably, you know, and again, you get pluses and minuses. Well, we'll say minus.
They're like, our marital system is complicated.
But like, you know, you get better. I don't know what medical you would translate as.
Well,
like you'd
maybe
get more
they're
medical.
Better at. They have the outreach programs through different species, so they
get contacts or something.
Diplomacy goes. Your diplomacy goes way up. Yeah.
It's like it's like the easy mode because they're everybody loves the Denobulans.
Oh, I can see like Vulcans. Your engineering aspect or
science,
your military aspect.
Well, and if science going up, like let's say you need to help the Klingons, and like they're having, you know, their forehead issues, and so having strong science helps you solve that issue for them, and that makes them more agreeable and wanting to join. Like, but because you put time into your Vulcan stat or something like that.
And see, that's it. Almost makes me think: should all the events in the game be semi-random? Because you don't know what you're building, like it's easy to probably like min-max it and build the best,
right.
The best, you know, Federation for whatever you think challenge you're coming up. But if you don't know. It could be interesting to, like, to throw a wrench in the works. Or maybe that's hard mode, where, I don't know. Like, you never expect your science to help the Klingons. But
I think
it will in some situations.
A separate option, you know, random events on or off.
Yeah, maybe.
But I know what you're saying, though, Daniel, because it's like, what is the ultimate point of the game? Is the ultimate point to make a fun Federation that is an interesting makeup?
Right.
That will last. Like, I kind of like... You know, because then you're kind of almost playing two games. You're playing the game of, well, I can't unlock this species if I go for these species. So I have to be
careful
about my choice or work at it more. That's true. Or if, like we were saying before, when you hit, you know, found Federation and then your little Enterprise like flies through time and you see how long it lasts, like if that's your ultimate goal, you know, but maybe they're given multiple goals. Like, I love the idea of, you know, someone wants to make the new Klingon Empire and conquer everybody, or they want to do the Terran Empire, or they want to, you know, explore the whole galaxy and, you know, or find all of the, you know, craziness. And you can add, little planets, too. I mean, Enterprise meets a lot of planets. Like, we could...
The hologram planet.
Like, the spiderweb planet.
Old West planet.
Yep. But it's funny. I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying, Darren. But it's like you can definitely, in a game that's open enough, you can play it how you want to play it.
Yeah, that's true.
And as long as the systems allow for it, you can.
At the end, you may not care about how long your Federation lasts. It doesn't matter. It's got cool Klingons, and that's your choice.
Right.
You know, you can do that.
All right. Well, I have two final questions because we've had a good discussion here. Ready to get paid for it at any moment. and this will be for both of you, but Daniel, tell me about the DLC. What are we charging people for? Extra.
You would, I guess,
the Zindi expansion pack. Is that what we're doing?
I would say the easy cash grab would be TOS expansion pack.
Are you using the refit in X01?
You push the timeline further, and then you get more access to more planets. I mean, that's the easy thing to do, I would think. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, you get the binars or something available.
Yeah.
That's true. You could say, Or TNG jump. Maybe not TOS, because I didn't feel like we added as many new members in TOS. Like, that wasn't really their deal. Whereas TNG, you technically, like you said, you have Bynars, you have Ferengi, you have, you know.
I mean, TNG to me would be a sequel. Like, setting it in Prime timeline would be a sequel. Like,
how do Federation I, 2, keeping how the
do
Federation.
I, yeah, exactly. How do I hold on to this Federation now?
Yeah.
And continue to grow it.
Make it last.
And in Mass Effect style, you would, of course, keep the Federation that you made in the first
one. That's right, exactly.
Or,
that might be a little too complicated. But.
Or you could do some sort of wormhole unlock, and it gives you access to
Delta
the
Quadrant Delta expansion.
Or the Gamma Quadrant. Like then you have all those planets to choose if they want to join.
Ooh, building the Delta Federation. All right, and the last question is, I know we've been talking sort of maps and everything. Tell me about the NX-01. What are we going to be able to see that we've not got to see before? Or, you know, this is our first Enterprise game. Tell me about the Enterprise and crew, and am I going to be able to have a beagle follow me around the corridors, you know?
So, not generally in these types of games, in these civilization type of games, you're not controlling a single character ever. But it's nice and easy. You can set, like, set your hologram, you know, menu on that back table behind the bridge there. And sorry, just because this is part of the property, you got to model the whole ship. I want to explore every room in the dang ship.
Oh, that's cool.
And then just in your menu, you can just leave the table and just walk around just to explore.
Built with Unreal Engine for your enjoyment.
I just want that on any.
You gotta press the
ever.
Button every time you go in, though. So
that's fine. That's totally fine. But just let me explore every inch of the ship, every single crew quarter. I don't care. Just even
you want to be able to go up in that that nacelle and walk the catwalk.
If it's copy paste rooms, I don't care. Like I don't expect to find something new in every room, but I would love to just walk the whole dang ship. I know that's not at all related to the rest of the game.
What if you did it where? Like, I know what you mean about it's not around a single character, but I also like the thought of the Enterprise is the one who has to go at least to the planet for the first time to start relations.
Little pod.
But where you say, okay, we're going to Denobula, and then you hit go, and then it gives you an option. Would you like to instantly be there, or would you like to walk around the ship while you're in transit? And then it's like a little mini game, and you're just enjoying, you know, the catwalks and all those.
I mean, it's
places.
Like not the
and
same,
then when you're done, you're there, and you know you don't have to choose that, but you can.
I know it's probably takes a lot more, but like Star Trek Online, you can be on your own bridge of your own ship. You don't do anything when you're in there. I mean, it can be something a little more than that, but you know, you can walk around.
Yeah, it's the same thing as Mass Effect, right? You set the destination, and your ship is in transit until you leave the ship, so you can. And of course, in Mass Effect, it's a much smaller ship. Although not terribly smaller than the NX-01.
I mean, how many places you really want to see in the NX-01? I mean,
you have the main.
I'd love to see everything in the NX-01. I just would love to do it, and it would be fun. And
Sonic Shower.
with a development team that has some passion for Star Trek, you could put you could put crewman Daniels' quarters in there, and you could put like the transporter guy's, you know, key ring or what. Like, you could just put stuff in there.
Oh my god! Random element with crewman Daniels.
Oh, hey, there you go. That could be DLC.
Daniel's LCs.
Oh, yes.
Daniel's loadable content.
All right. Well, I think we've got a good thing going here with founding the Federation. (1).
is that the name? We didn't really discuss.
Founding the Federation is the working title. Anyone got any better ones?
Star Trek Federation.
Okay. Make sure it's not taken. Okay, but yes.
It's a good one.
I mean, like, it's not, that's what the whole game is, right? It's
an building Enterprise adventure.
I know. Yes, that's true. I mean, the Star Trek video games, their titles are very like, this is what it is. It's not, you know, it's like Star Trek going to other planets. Like, that could be the title.
Star Trek: Federation. I guess you could call it Star Trek Enterprise Federation.
Yeah.
But you'd probably have to.
I think Star Trek Federation is cleaner, and it makes sense to place it in the
You just
Enterprise
did it
era.
In the font type of Enterprise, you know.
Exactly. Star Trek: Federation.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Works for me. All right. So any final thoughts, Darren, about this game?
When can I buy it? It sounds great. All right.
Now, of course, Daniel, for the DLC, I assume you have to pay extra if you don't want to hear the theme song.
But it's got to like load with 8-bit. It's like do 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 do.
It's like we're compromising. We know some people don't like it, but we're still gonna have it. You know, yeah. All right. Okay. I love it. All right. So, Daniel, if folks want to talk about where they can meet Krim and Daniel on this game, where can they find you?
They can find me with the handle 1UpDan. That's where I will be in the game. So you can find me there once it comes out in 18 years. But you can pre-order it now if you want. And that's the number one, not the word.
And, Darren, if folks want to know about the secret cheat where they can find out that you were chef all along, where can they find you?
Yeah, that's the part I want to explore. Chefs, you open the door and it's like a black hole. It's like there's nothing in there.
He's standing there, but it's blurry.
Oh, man.
Well, the kitchen.
It's even scarier.
The cabinet's right, the mess cabinet's right there, and you just see the hat and the body.
They can find me at drscifi.com, DRSCIFI.
All right. And if folks want to press my charter button, they can find me on Twitter at NCPublicServant. Well, until next week, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Darren Moser.
Granted here on City Alpha 3.